That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Blackbusters.
What's cracking, family? What it do? It's your boy Big Jaws. Welcome to another episode of Blackbusters, the best movie review podcast in the world.
In the world, Craig.
You know what I'm saying? In the world, Craig. Once again, like I say, I'm your host, Big Jaws, along with my co-host.
We shall overtone.
Ooh.
We shall overtone.
Yes.
Yeah.
Talk about creativity, yeah. Man. We shall overtone
we
is
shall
hilarious
overtone.
And great. I love it. In the honor of Martin Luther King and his birthday, we are going to talk about a very, very good film that I really enjoyed watching the first time and the last two times I've watched it. We're going to talk about Selma.
Day I saw the light.
Yes, sir.
Was the day I started to fight.
Yeah, all that. Man, Selma, I love the name. Mm-hmm. I get it, too. Also, this movie, Selma, is written by Paul Webb and directed by Ava DuVernay.
Yeah, Ava.
Ava did a thing with this one.
Yeah, Ava.
Paul Webb did his thing with the writing. Starring David Oyelowo. Hopefully
fantastic
I said it right.
Fantastic actor.
Yes. Come on.
Fantastic actor.
Never seen him in something I didn't like, honestly. Okay. Carmen Elojo and Oprah Winfrey, amongst several other people.
Yeah.
Wendell Pierce, Lakeith Stansfield.
Yeah, he has
Stephen
a bit
James,
in
James.
My man Coleman Domingo.
Coleman Domingo.
I like Coleman.
Yeah, I like that name. Coleman, he did his thing.
Common is in it.
Common's in it. Omar Dorsey. Trey Byers. Yes. It's just a star-studded Tim Roth.
Yeah.
It's everybody in this bad boy, bro. Great film. And I mean it's a tragic but great story, in my opinion. And we don't have to necessarily break down what happened. I mean, we can. I mean, we will talk about some things, but this is just in honor of Dr. King. Just talk about this film in tribute to him and to those who marched in Alabama.
Yep.
And on Washington, you know, and the things that, and this movie was basically, the duration of this film was kind of like what? A year or less?
You know,
the duration of it.
In terms of like the timeline, we jump around. It focuses on the march across the Edmund Pettus Bridge.
Yes.
Right? It focuses on that kind of like singular event, but it goes to the lead up, you know, of that, of like, you know, King, this is after the March on Washington.
Right.
Right? King, it's after the passing of the Civil Rights Act. Right? So King's got some momentum.
Right.
You know, this is after the assassination of JFK.
Right.
Right? So, like, we kind of come to it, like, in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
This is after the Montgomery bus boycott.
Right.
Right? So just from timeline, this is where it sits.
After the bombing.
After the bombing of the four little girls. So this is where the core of the story starts, leading into this... this protest for voting rights,
right?
For Black people, especially in the South. So that's where it kind of sits in the timeline. With King, we get a unique version of King in this. He's tired,
right?
He is doubtful, Mm-hmm. Right? Like, you know,
stressed out.
You can see this, you can see the weight of it. Like, right. We don't always see that side of King.
We typically see him interviewed or his speeches.
I have a dream.
Everything is calm, collected. Yeah. We don't see them when he's sitting, laying on his side on his bed, mm-hmm. and going over his speech and kind of like criticizing it. He's kind of reciting it, not mm-hmm. knowing if it's good enough.
Yeah.
Kind of, you can see it's a little challenging for him to believe in, not necessarily believe, but like to really, but not, I won't use the word believe. I believe, I think he believes everything he says, right. But is this going to resonate with the crowd?
This movie shows the work.
Yeah.
Right? Like, like it's almost kind of like to put it in NBA terms, we're so used to seeing the game.
Right.
Matter of fact, we're so used to seeing the highlights of the game.
Yes.
This movie is the practice,
uh-huh.
the running the lines, right? Like, you know, mm-hmm. the getting in shape, the hard part of the movement, right?
Right.
Is kind of like what this focuses on. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They start to flirt with a couple of things here.
Yeah.
We talk about the FBI's, you know, surveillance.
Uh-huh.
That's new news for a lot of people. I mean, a lot of people assumed it, but mm-hmm. this was very detailed.
Right.
Like, you know, taking actual stuff. And, you know, the rumored history of King's relationship with the ladies.
Right.
You know.
Brother King,
they just, you know, they don't want to pull it out, but they they alluded to
it. I wonder, and that's a thought for me. I wonder why. Because, I mean, for years growing up, I read these different books on Dr. Martin Luther King. And mm-hmm. I've seen the speeches. I watched the interviews and stuff like that. I've heard of so many great things about him. I think it wasn't until I got older
that you learned about.
I learned about that. Whoa, 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 what you mean? Womanizer. What you talking about? Yeah. They used those words. I was like, Dr. King? Nah. Mm-hmm. But supposedly.
It's the truth.
It's the truth. And I wonder if maybe, I'm thinking, why did they bring that up? It wasn't a focal point. It wasn't a primary focal point of the show, of the movie.
Right.
But it was a layer across the whole film to a degree.
And that's one of my critiques of the movie is they bring it up, but it's almost kind of like they don't want to speak ill of Dr. King.
Right.
But they introduce it, right? So like, you know, a big part of the surveillance that the FBI had was like, they was catching King
Doing this thing. Right.
And they were like, let's keep collecting this because we can actually use this to bring him down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a threat. You know, after the I Have a Dream speech, there was a memo that basically said he's the most dangerous Negro in America.
Right.
So, like, we have to, you know, we the FBI, we have to be prepared to take him down. So they started getting that dirt on him. And I think in their minds, they're like, this fool out here pretending to be pious, you know, being church-worthy.
Perfect, godly all the time.
But he out here smashing.
He over here. Out there stroking. That's what he been doing.
But I think what the FBI realized is that people just didn't care. Right? Like, you know, like they sent the tapes to his wife. They sent the tapes, you know, to the church. They sent the tapes to the press, but he was almost Teflon. Like his cause was so righteous that they wasn't gonna let that bring him down. And he was too important to the movement.
I think it would have been crazy if they did. If they did let it. Mm-hmm. No, the wife is a little different. You know what I'm saying? Coretta or Cora? Mm-hmm. Corey. I love you, Corey.
That's a good impersonation.
Hey, I worked on it, man, all last night.
Yeah.
The fact that he was made him human, in my opinion. Yeah. I'm not condoning it. I'm not thinking, he good job, Martin. No, mm-hmm. But I'm saying, his movement and what he was trying to gain by his activism is, I think, stronger than that.
Yeah,
I think it sounds crazy to say. But
it's very realistic.
Very realistic. Like the movement is way bigger than what he does in the bedroom or outside of his.
And you have to understand that, like, how important Martin Luther King was to everyone.
Right.
Right. Especially to Black people. King rolled in them small towns in the South.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we know that, like, women are enamored with mm-hmm. powerful, strong, articulate, mm-hmm. you know, men, and he's the freedom fighter
right.
of the day.
Yeah.
Of course women are going to be attracted to
especially Martin when Luther the King. Man you're the man you look up to looks up to him.
Yeah. Of course that's yes. the case, right? He was also a relatively young man. He mm-hmm. was in his 30s.
Yeah.
Right now again, you know, like times have changed. He wasn't a 22-year-old.
Right.
But him and the crew was running in the town and them women was putting on their Sunday best.
Yes.
They was cooking and mm-hmm. he's not the only man in history right. to fall victim
to
and to yeah. fail to meet his vows.
Right.
No excuses.
no excuses.
But I think, you know, like I think that we don't want to think of King like that.
I didn't initially. I was like, whoa.
Yeah, nah. I still don't want to.
Of course.
But it's honest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's that's what was popping. But to your point, the movement was more important.
Yes.
And so we kind of have to take the good with the bad.
Right. And I wonder what Coretta Scott King was thinking. Like, mm-hmm. we never really heard what she was thinking.
Yeah.
And we didn't see what she was thinking, but she wasn't happy. And and it's weird, though. Like, I'm thinking to myself, like, how do you... Martin, how you smash some other buns? Like, I would think that your mind wouldn't even be on that.
Yeah. But, I mean, like, stressful out on the road. You know what I mean? Like, I mean...
It started off with a back rub.
Just think about it as a comedian. A
shoulder rub.
Right, yeah. Shoulder rub. Uh-huh. Shoulder rub and a hymenal.
yes.
But, like, you know, when you're going on tour,
uh-huh.
right, and, you know, and you're going to be 6 months in the South...
Right.
Right.
And the South.
And everywhere you go, you are the most important person in the room. Everywhere you go.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And everybody knows that, like, you know, sex and infidelity is a common practice in the church as well. People yes. are just people.
Right.
Right. People are people.
Trying to do right.
Trying to do right.
Yeah.
But, like, that's Martin Luther King,
mm-hmm.
you know, and somebody there is in, and, you know, King ain't beyond saying she's fine.
Yeah.
I'm fighting for these rights.
Uh-huh.
But.
Yeah.
Anna Bay can get it. You know, Anna, you know.
Lisa James.
Yeah, Lisa.
Yeah, she can go. She keep walking yeah. over here pulling them stockings up. Hey, maybe.
I mean, like I said, JFK was cheating.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, I mean, like, for as long as humans been alive, you know, people have been stepping out of caves to sleep with their spouse.
Right.
And great men. Mm. Truly great men have always had that issue as well, right? Yeah. So this is, you know, I can understand why it's only coming out now. The director, Barry Jenkins, was going to do a movie that focused in on it. And he got a lot of pressure from Black Hollywood to not do it.
Yeah.
He was going to do one that was just really about that part of King's life.
Which I don't see the point.
You don't do that.
Yeah, because that's not what he was about. Now, right. That's not what we know him to be.
Yes.
So even if we knew that about him, that was a portion of what we knew
Dr. And it never affected his work.
Right.
Never affected his work.
So now I think obviously they sent the tapes to the wife so they can like ruin him from the inside out,
mm-hmm.
from his starting with his household.
Yeah.
If he loses his woman, she leaves him, she takes the kids,
mm-hmm.
and now he don't have that structure at the crib.
Right.
That comfort at the crib. That's what they were hoping. And I'm sure I think they did a good job of making it part of the movie, of the story,
mm-hmm.
but not overdoing it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Wasn't heavy handed.
I like even like small scenes with the Malcolm X scene. Well, Malcolm X had a quick meeting with Mrs. King, and she came back to Martin when he was in the jail.
He wasn't feeling it.
He wasn't rocking with that.
You
talking about him? He's different now. He dissed me.
Yeah,
several times.
Dissed us. Called me an Uncle Tom.
Yeah.
And he's done nothing.
Right.
Like King was low key riding on her from the other side of the cell.
Right.
He was like, you met with him. He's dissed us for years.
Mm-hmm.
Called me, an Uncle Tom.
Right.
Meanwhile, I'm getting legislation passed.
Right.
I'm meeting with the president.
Uh-huh.
You sound enamored.
Now, see, at first, she said, you sound tired. You don't sound like yourself.
Yeah.
You sound tired.
Yeah.
So he was like, you sound enamored. Which is a slap in the face.
Yeah.
Even if she was.
Yeah.
Hey, man, let her be enamored, bro. Yeah. It's Malcolm.
While you smash
it. It's Malcolm.
Right.
Yeah, it's Malcolm.
You got your nerve, Martin. Right. You know what I mean? Like, you know, fronting on her for a meeting.
Yeah. When,
you know, but.
And she came up to report to you what was said.
Yeah.
What it was about.
And he's trying to help us.
Nah.
He seems different.
His ego.
Yeah.
I like that, too, though. I like the fact that they kind of humanized Martin Luther King. He was a regular man.
Mm-hmm.
They had a dream and a plan. And he stuck to it.
Yep.
But he was still, at the end of the day, you strip him of all the titles of pastor and a reverend and whatnot, he's still just a man. That's
still
a husband,
just a man.
You know what I'm saying? That gets jealous. And I think, I'm sure they both, I'm sure Martin Luther King and Malcolm both admired and despised each other in some way.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know.
Jealousy and admiration.
First of all, they have two different programmings.
Right.
Right off the bat.
Right.
Right? Malcolm is by any means necessary.
Mm-hmm.
Malcolm is from, you know, the Black Muslim church.
Mm-hmm.
They both want what's best for the people,
mm-hmm.
right? But Malcolm was not on no turn the other cheek.
He's for protest, nah.
I'm gonna kill him with love and mm-hmm. kindness.
Right.
Like, that was not a part of Martin's right. M.O. I mean, Malcolm's M.O. Now, ultimately, Martin had the right philosophy.
Right.
His you know, nonviolent, you know, campaign did move the hearts and minds of Americans.
Right.
Right? They had to take them ass whoopings. They had to take them lumps
yeah.
for the cameras.
And them deaths.
And them deaths.
Yeah.
For the people to see to move right. the needle. But I think, like, later in life, mm-hmm. after, you know, Malcolm is essentially kicked out of the Nation of Islam.
Right.
Goes on his pilgrimage to Mecca. He comes back with a different philosophy,
yeah.
Yeah, like a different perspective.
Exactly.
And it's less like the white man is the devil.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that particular, you know, version of Malcolm could have worked very yeah. well.
Yeah.
I mean, that would have been like the Avengers,
man,
right? Like,
they would have teamed up.
If those guys had teamed up, man.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Them speeches would have been monumental,
man,
bro.
I'm telling you, man, them you know, those meetings,
mm-hmm.
like, because then you galvanize everybody.
Right.
You galvanize right. everybody. And they're just both incredible, you know, speakers.
Right.
It's interesting when you bring up Malcolm. Here comes this warm take.
Uh-huh.
Now, I like David Oyelowo
mm-hmm.
as an actor.
Yes.
I think he's a fantastic actor.
Yes.
I don't know if this was the right role for him.
No?
I tell you why. David's a British actor.
Right.
Right? Grew up in, you know, the UK.
Mm-hmm.
Martin Luther King is a Southern
right.
Baptist minister.
Right.
Preacher.
Right.
The experiences that Martin went through are uniquely American.
Mm-hmm.
We know it.
Right.
We feel it.
Right.
Right? Like, even though this time predates us, the energies, the responses, the movements, the inflections all come from something that is uniquely American.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And I do think that while David did well, I think he failed to fully capture what a Southern preacher is.
Huh.
Right? His speeches were good, but, I, you know, you and me, we done spent time in them pews.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
did not sound like someone from the pews.
You didn't think so?
I thought they were soaring, for real. I thought they were soaring.
Mm-hmm.
I thought they were great speeches, but they were almost scholarly. They had lost that down-home, rooted.
Mm. I would need to look,
you know,
at the...
The way Martin spoke, right? Like, you
yeah.
know, he, and it's only because, like, despite a fantastic actor as he is, he couldn't capture that because he didn't live that. Right. Like, huh. you know, it was he was kind of studying it by books. He's an actor's actor.
Right.
So he was able. I think he was able to really do Martin's frustrations well. I think he was able to do some of that. But the big soaring pieces didn't quite hit for me. So I
Dang.
Didn't fully connect with David as Martin, because I think there was a big miss at the big stuff, the big speeches. Right. Like, you know, huh. it just was more oratory and less. You know, I done seen the promised land. I done been to the top.
What y'all think,
I might
man?
Not get there with you. You know what I mean? Like, there's that flavor that was a big part of Martin's movement.
You thought he was missing that in the performance.
I have seen the mountaintop. right? Like, you know, it was almost kind of like to Juilliard. Like, you know, okay. To...
What y'all think?
Yeah.
Real quick, what y'all think? Y'all think that David Oyelowo, Oyelowolo? Oh, shit.
Mm-hmm.
I got to read it.
It's a lot of vowels.
I can't just say it. I got to read it.
Right.
Oyelowo.
Mm-hmm.
David Oyelowo. Y'all think he did a good job, a good enough job, or do y'all agree with Brother We Shall Overtone?
We Shall Overtone.
I thought he did a great job, but now that you say what you're saying, I'm going to go back and look at the original speeches of Dr. King and then look at some of the scenes in Selma to see if I agree. Because I won't disagree. I won't agree with you just yet.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to say you're wrong.
And it's a warm take. It's a slight film critic-y thing. Denzel, in my opinion, did not miss a beat as Brother Malcolm, right? The speeches sound very much the same. Now, again, I'm not trying to compare David and Denzel as actors. This is not like a tit for tat thing, but Denzel is an American,
right?
Denzel knows the way Americans, you know, get on that soapbox and deliver it, right? Yeah. I think that, like, David is a great orator. But I think he's just underseasoned.
Was he too polished?
I just think it's underseasoned.
Underseasoned, huh?
I just think it's underseasoned.
Dang.
I think his, and I'm really only speaking to the speeches, the big moments, right? Like, again, when he was talking with Cora, yes, you know, I'm tired. So much we got to do. We got to get down to Memphis and Arkansas. You know what I mean? Like, he had the slow cadence of King,
yeah.
But when it came to the big rousing speeches,
you didn't feel it like you thought you wanted.
Was not moved.
Dang. Hey,
I know it's a take.
So it's a take.
I know it's
and
a take.
I won't even call it a hot one. You said it's warm, and I think it's warm too.
It's a film critic-y thing.
I don't think you're from left field with this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I want to say you were, but I don't know if you are.
And I'm being careful to not knock David.
Right.
I'm being careful to not knock him. I'm just saying the soaring part.
How do you feel about, I'm about to bring up another film, a film that we haven't done yet, but The Black Messiah.
Yeah.
How do you feel about Daniel Kaluuya playing Fred Hampton?
It's I feel like he did a better job.
Whoa.
Ah, so interesting.
Okay.
All right. So I tell you why that's a great question. And it's a question that's difficult to answer because we have spent more time with King than we have with Fred Hampton.
True.
Right? So we can hear King in our heads so that when we hear someone doing King, we immediately have a source to reference.
Yeah.
Right? Because we've seen the I Have a Dream speeches for years and years. We know it. The same way when someone sings like Whitney, I Will Always Love You.
Yeah.
We've heard that. So when someone else sings it, we are immediately able to judge.
How can we match it with
how
the original?
It compares to the original, right?
Okay.
So that's what David kind of suffers from, is that we know King's speeches so well that in my mind, I'm like, he's not quite hitting the notes.
Damn.
Versus Fred Hampton, who we don't know quite that well.
He got his speeches too.
He's got his speeches too, but you know, it's by and large, they're not played as much, right?
We can't commit it to memory by this listening.
I can't. Like, I could do King's cadence with 85% accuracy, maybe better if I'm really flowing. I can't hear Hampton's voice in my head. I know his face.
Yeah.
I know when I see him. I know what he stood for. I know what happened. But I can't hear him in my head to be able. So when we talk about Daniel Kaluuya, he's got an easier lift because he has to portray someone that isn't as well known as King.
I got to go back and listen to watch.
This is a very interesting conversation. I love it. It's riveting.
That's a warm take. It's a good take. It's a good take to discuss. And you might not be wrong. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I can't disagree. I got to go back and check the tape.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Check the tape, man. But all in all, I think he did a stupendous job.
Mm-hmm.
And it was dope. The thing with the women, I think it was dope too, as far as storytelling and being honest and truthful.
Mm-hmm.
And the tension that him and his wife had.
Yeah.
That ended up, she still ended up coming by his side and marching with
her. She was riding out. She never remarried.
Yeah, she never remarried.
Never remarried.
And I think that's, I think she realized, let me chill. I'm upset. Mm-hmm. I feel a little underappreciated.
Yeah.
And underloved, possibly.
Mm-hmm.
But this dude is bigger. And what he's doing is bigger than, damn, you done messed around and got some other buns.
Right.
And that's a, ladies, what do y'all think? Was she wrong for his sticking with him? Like, a lot of times dudes get, divorces happen when, like, the husband cheats or something like that. Right. Somebody cheats, usually the husband gets caught cheating, and the wife is like, I don't deserve this, I'm leaving. Man. Like, do you leave Dr. King for cheating?
I mean, it's the late 50s, early 60s.
Mm-hmm.
Women wasn't getting divorced at that time, really, at all. Like, I'm sure there are some documented divorces, but that was, you know, it's not right, but that was women's roles. That was kind of the thing. Like, men were known for stepping out.
Right.
Men were known for stepping out. You know, men had mistresses in the city.
He lied about it, too.
Yeah.
That ain't me.
That ain't me.
Yeah. Corey, that ain't me. Man. She said, I know.
Yeah.
When I first read that scene, I wanted to say they probably wrote it that way on purpose. And performed it that way because she said, I know.
Yeah.
I'm thinking like, oh, she knows that's not him. She knows that that's propaganda.
Yeah.
She said, I know. Then she said, I know how you sound.
I know what you sound.
I know your moans, bro. Mm-hmm. Pause.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Like, she's like, come on, cut that out. That's you.
Yeah. So she's heard tapes before.
Uh-huh.
She knows that that's how he gets down.
Uh-huh.
Right? I mean, like, even the way when she showed up at the courthouse, the way all the King's boys was like,
hey, man.
Hey, Coretta here. Hey, yo, be easy. You know what I mean? Like, you know, just
shape
like,
up.
Hey. Like, if my wife showed up to, like, if I was, like, at a happy hour and I'm, you know, and I'm flirting and cutting it up and all of a sudden my wife showed up, that's that same energy king. Mm-hmm, hold on. Everything okay?
Hey, hey baby. How you doing?
But Coretta, that wasn't me.
He said, that ain't me.
are you
sure?
It's
you trying to convince her or you?
You're a great actor, man.
You because, might hope that ain't you. That's what it was.
Yeah, yeah. He was, I mean, like, I could hear, like, the Shaggy song, like, come on, like right afterwards. Because he was like, Corn, that ain't me.
And the second time around,
yeah,
it sounded like he knew he was lying.
Yeah.
And he was like,
yeah. Because it could have been.
That ain't me.
I think that was like the whole kind of point of the scene. This tape, this particular tape is not me. And we can agree on that. But it's not like this is outrageous or egregious. Like, we both know because of what you've had to deal with and what I'm sure she's probably heard, man. Right?
Yeah.
But I think to your earlier point, I think Coretta understood she was married to the movement.
Married to the movement.
He was the movement.
Yeah.
I think she knew that ultimately their lives were in jeopardy.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, as with all people of that time, it was so important. That was one of the things that I kind of like paused on and was just like, damn. Like, I don't know if we are, as a people, are capable of that kind of sacrifice and commitment to a cause anymore. I don't think we are, because them people, the courage, putting their life on the line. You know what I mean?
Coming back the very next day after getting mopped.
After getting mopped by the police.
Yeah.
Right? Not like we out there, you know, street scrapping.
Right.
The police, you know, the amount of courage for something like which people take for granted today, which is the vote.
Man.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, like, I don't know if you can get a city of black people today to be like, man, they taking our vote across. And now we're so cynical. People be like, the vote don't even matter anyway.
Right.
Right? Like, you know.
Yeah.
But, like, it was so important. And young men, old men.
Young men, 19.
Young girls, young boys, you know, were coming together facing down what they knew was going to happen.
Right.
But we want our rights. We want our freedom. It's
when he said, powerful. We're going back out there tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
But this time he's coming with y'all.
Yep.
This time I'm coming with y'all. So for the folks, they was sitting there dressing their wounds up. They was like, what, you going back out there again?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I'm going to go out there too. Now, could he have said, y'all going back out there tomorrow?
Yeah.
And not go?
Yeah.
Could he have done that?
He could have done that.
Do you think they all would have went?
I think the bigger question mark was the way he turned back around. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody is there. They ready. They nursing their wounds, but they all showed up. People, mm-hmm. you know, came in from out of town
yeah.
to be like, man, the
white boys pulled up.
White boys pulled up. And then for him to kneel and then just walk away. Yeah. Like, I'm glad they showed that scene. Like, yo, what the fuck, man? Like, what was that? What was that about?
I came from Boston, homie.
Explain to me.
We in Alabama. Yeah. I came from Boston.
What are we doing out here? You know what I mean? And I get it. He was like, you know, I don't want people to get hurt, you know. But it's almost kind of like, at that particular time, they were showing that King didn't have a whole lot of fight in him.
Right.
You know, like he, when he's in jail with Abernathy, he's like, man, I'm getting tired of this.
Yeah.
You know, so just maybe.
His squad helped him.
Yeah.
His squad poured back into him like, bruh, we need you, dog. Yeah. You got this.
Because here goes some scriptures that matter. Like,
Malcolm has so much fight. He's fighting everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Even his own people at the time.
Yes.
I'm out of here. Nah, yeah, you know, you're out of here. Okay, it's cool. I'm leaving.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Anybody could have got it back then. Yeah. And they got it. You know what I'm saying? And so, that's a great point that Martin had, he didn't so much, but and us seeing him in the jail cell, us seeing him with his wife showed that he wasn't made of steel.
Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't just this person, this man that never had doubt. And never had any glitches and any bumps in the road. Like he had issues that most men have.
And here's another important thing. Today, he's revered as this amazing man. But at the time, he was public enemy number one.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of the black community, they hated Martin Luther King.
Yeah.
He got hate when the homie said, Martin Luther King, I want to shake your hand, and fired on him. Yeah. Like, that was a regular occurrence, right?
It's a regular nigga.
Yeah. Like, so,
regular white dude.
So in the circles, you know, in the black circles, it was Dr. King, but, like, they were still a minority.
Yeah.
The vast majority of Americans were not feeling Dr. King at all. It's only later, like once we kind of get into our lifetime,
right?
What's interesting is like in our lifetime is when King Day was not a thing when we were born. King Day became a thing in the 80s, right? Yeah. And I remember feeling like whenever they would show like the Martin Luther King speech, like when we were in elementary, it felt like it was like, oh, this shit happened 70 years ago.
Right.
But in actuality, like, King died, like, I'm born in 79. King dies, like, 11 years before I'm born. Just 11 years before I'm born.
Right.
Right? So it's not that much time.
Right.
But, like, his legacy, it can't be understated. Like, the freedoms that we have that maybe we take for granted was on the sacrifice of the people on the Pettus Bridge. You know,
yeah.
Like taking those lumps because they took those lumps for us so that we don't have to, so that we can move
facts
as freely, you know, as we move.
Right. Bro, so I remember when this movie came out.
Mm-hmm.
It was 2014.
Yep.
And I was at my dad's house. I went down to San Diego to visit him, and I was sitting in his room, and I was like, hey, Pops, you want to go see Selma? You know what I'm saying? And my dad froze. Like, he didn't freeze, but he paused. He was like, yeah, I might see it. I might go check out the movie. I said, whoa, what do you mean might go?
Yeah.
It's Selma.
Right.
It's a story involving Martin Luther King. And what do you mean? And my dad said something I never thought he would say because I had no clue. Me and my dad talk all the time, but I didn't know this about him.
Right.
He said, son, I wasn't really a Malcolm. I mean, a Martin guy.
Mm-hmm.
I said, it threw me off because my dad is super pro-black. My dad is super militant.
Right.
He's super for the people. My dad used to be a Knight Grecian, which is like a black activist that was for moving and migrating back to America.
Like on some Marcus Garvey shit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Back to Africa. And yeah. So he was on that. My dad was Muslim. By the time I came around, I'm the youngest. He had converted to Christianity, but mm-hmm. he was Muslim for a long period in his life. So I knew that, but I didn't realize that my dad wasn't a Martin guy, and there was many people who wasn't rocking with Martin.
Yes, yes.
We grew up as Martin Luther King was the, he's the black man, the black activist. He's the epitome of black excellence, yes. Black power.
Yes.
Yeah, and you would think like every black man would be for Martin. He was like,
and that they loved Martin.
My dad was 9 years younger than Martin Luther King.
Mm-hmm.
My dad was, so when Martin Luther King was 30, he was 21.
Yeah.
They were in the same era. He says, in 1965, my dad was 25.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so my dad was like, yeah, I was a Malcolm dude. I was a radical dude. I was
makes
a guy.
Sense.
There's no way I'm walking. He says, my dad was like, there's no way I would have walked through Selma without my pistol.
Mm-hmm.
I said, it threw me off.
Yeah.
But I mean, it made sense because I forgot who my dad was. My dad was a very calm man, but he was very aggressive.
Yeah.
Very aggressive towards the system.
Not everybody was on.
He was like, there's a lot of people like, oh man, he Uncle Tom. Oh, he a buster. Oh, mm-hmm. he a sucker.
Yep.
I said, really?
Yeah.
You be in the pool hall. You be somewhere hanging out with the homies and they be talking bad about Martin Luther King.
Mm-hmm.
And women too. I couldn't date a man. I couldn't be with a man like that.
Yeah.
Then a white boy put their hands on him and he don't do nothing.
Non-violence. Yeah.
That's all. Yeah.
This
ain't the slave time no more.
It's such a good point.
So, yeah.
It's such a good point.
Yeah.
Like now we think everybody was on it.
Nah.
Not the case.
Yeah. And so I love that scene with Malcolm and Mrs. King.
Mm-hmm.
It was only one scene, but it was strong.
Yeah.
I thought it was dope. I think this movie was dope. I hear what you're saying about the speeches.
Mm-hmm.
But like even the Jimmy Lee Jackson part, like mm-hmm. that was there's so many men and women that were hurt.
Yeah.
And even killed, I'm sure.
Yeah.
During that time. But you can't talk about everybody. So with Jimmy Lee Jackson, they really it took a point to really discuss and unpack that situation,
yeah.
His story.
Yeah.
Then give
us Lakeith's character, right?
Lakeith, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Him being murdered in that diner.
Yeah.
Being murdered, man, after peaceful protesting that got broken up. And then he ran his grandfather.
Ran his family in there.
And his mother into it. And said, sit down.
Yeah.
And open the menus and act like you're reading the menus.
Yeah.
And then they came in there.
It was sad. It was sad. I, you know, the asshole in me, it was like, man, you could have came up with a better plan. You know what I mean? Because
how? But they think about
keep running. Like go to the back of the kitchen.
Hide
in the kitchen.
Yes.
You know, I'd hate to I'm not trying to be disrespectful at all. But it almost like reeked like a little bit of like just like put on a hat. You know what I mean? Exactly. Like, you know, but like this feels wrong, like, you know, doing this, but I remember thinking like if I extract myself from the content of this movie and I'm just here to be a silly podcaster, you know, keep moving with your family. Like, you know,
at least
think
the mom in the back.
They were sweating, you know what I mean? Like, they put the paper up, you know what I mean? And did not fool the cops at all.
They walked right in there and didn't even look around.
Went right to the table. With
almost
the
like they watched you from the outside glass.
Because they watched you walk in. like you wasn't shaking the spot. God, that's a silly, I know it feels wrong, but I found that part like, you know, extracting from the importance of the movie. I was just like, okay, could have had a better.
Jimmy Lee, come on, man.
I feel wrong for that.
I get it. You express it's a hot take.
I get it.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But I don't not share it with you.
Right. You know what right.
It ain't too hot.
Yeah.
It's a take.
Yeah.
Jimmy Lee Jackson, I think he probably felt that he didn't have enough time to run to the back, which is crazy. Mm-hmm. At that point, let's keep going.
And he was scared to death.
He was scared. So sometimes you do things that you don't think properly.
Right.
And he's just like, man, hopefully they'll just walk right past the diner.
Yeah.
They walked out.
And it was the one cop that saw him in the alley.
Yeah.
You know, that gave chase. Mm-hmm. But the fact that, like, the police officer could just kill him and walk out.
Tragic. So do you know what happened with that? 44 years later, he gets convicted.
Oh, the cop gets convicted?
Yeah, bro.
Oh, see, this is good gravity.
Yeah.
Okay, so there was a conviction.
Yeah, there was a conviction. He admitted to shooting him.
Wow.
Yeah, in self-defense, of course. They always do that shit.
Did he go to jail?
6 months. Damn. At 77 years old.
Damn.
Yeah.
That sucks.
He didn't live his life at that point.
Yeah. They took this man's life.
Yeah, lived his life.
I didn't know about the white woman that came down. And they said like 5 hours after the speech, she got killed by the Klan.
Driving some protesters or some marchers back to Selma.
Yeah. Damn.
Yeah, dog.
Shit's cold, man.
Yeah, that's wild, man.
That's the other little piece. Before we get into awards, how do when you watch these kind of movies now, what kind of feelings does it pull out of you? Do you still get angry? Are you ambivalent? You know, there are times where I'm like, who are these movies for? Right? Like, you know, like, are these movies for white folks to get the education and learning that they need? If so, keep making them. Right. I know that there are a lot of people that move away from them because they're kind of they call these movies kind of like trauma porn.
Right.
Which is like, you know, we don't want to relive this trauma. Yeah. We don't want
to. Butler.
Yeah. We don't want to see this trauma porn anymore. When you watch these kind of movies, what kind of feeling does it elicit from you?
I like what you said about it's probably for white folks or people who aren't black. I mean, we know what Martin Luther King did for us and what he meant to us.
Mm-hmm.
And I think some white people, I think the white people back then know, and maybe their grandparents, I mean, their grandkids don't know or weren't told.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So this is, and who knows, it's probably a majority of white people who didn't even watch Selma.
Yeah.
But
gotta keep telling the story.
Yeah, I mean, if you're gonna tell a lot of times we get upset about keep watching like slave films and stuff like that. Why we have to see? Why is I watched another movie about a slave?
Yeah,
we don't want to see that anymore. But something like a Fred Hampton, Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, you know what I'm saying? Like that, I'm okay with those films still.
I think
bringing those characters and those stories to life. I'm cool with that.
I'm like, keep telling it because let's not pretend. And I'm not trying to be conspiracy theorists, but let's not pretend that there isn't always an active effort to retell these stories differently. Right. You know, there's some stuff going on in Florida right now where like, you know, they basically have been putting it in the textbooks that like the slaves were pretty much cool. You know what I mean? Like, you know.
Wasn't that bad.
It wasn't that bad. They picked up a trade, right? Like, you know.
They had a lot of chores.
They learned how to be blacksmiths, right?
Yeah.
So it's just like, see, if you don't fight against that and tell the truth,
right.
Over time, that becomes the narrative,
yeah.
They've tried to like, you know, the Civil War wasn't about slavery. It was about economics. But the economics of what? The economics of slavery. But if you don't tell the story,
right.
You know what I mean? Like that cruise ship will slowly start to turn and then you'll end up with a narrative.
Right.
Right? Like, you know, to me, there are not enough people that understand how all of this stuff tethers together.
Right.
From slavery to civil rights. To the war on drugs, to what you see today. There's a straight line. And if you're trying to understand why certain things are the way they are now, you can't just look at those things in a vacuum.
Right.
You have to look at the whole legacy. People don't, why Chicago? Why is Chicago? Well, you want to know why Chicago, you know what I mean? Like, you know, is in some cases the way that it is, or the same way St. Louis or Dallas or South Central LA, all these places, right? Okay, well, There's a hop in the time machine. And let me tell you that these conditions were not born, you know, 3 years ago.
Right.
This is the result of long, you know. So that's why I think you got to keep making these movies.
Yeah. So,
I think you got to keep making them.
And so what about the people who say we tired of seeing these type of movies? You tell them that, right?
Yeah.
And, like, I also get, I think I understand why because we went through about, what, 7-8 years of like this, the Butler, mm-hmm. 12 Years a Slave, Selma, yeah.
Right.
A few other movies. Mm-hmm. Like when it, but not enough other type of films.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Yep. But like, but also we don't want to do it. Everything shouldn't be comedy.
Right. You got to tell, you know, these stories.
Yeah.
I you know, if we look at, you know, the other racial communities, and again, this is not about like anybody's trauma being more important,
right.
But you know, there are certain communities that will not let you forget what happened to them.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. And this is in America and this is across the world. And I think, you know, we have to be no different. Now, I think what's important is, you know, like they did with Selma, right. Is you can focus on specific events.
Right.
You can focus. There's enough stories
right.
to tell. Mm-hmm. Right. Jeffrey Wright played Martin Luther King.
Yeah.
And I think an HBO movie. Mm-hmm. And that movie was all about the bus boycott.
Right.
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 Tell Rosa's story. You know, mm-hmm. have Mahershala Ali play Medgar Evers.
Right.
Right. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, do a Four Little Girls story.
Yeah.
Just what, you know, just keep what's telling the stories.
Hidden Figures. Yeah.
Keep telling the story. Like, keep telling the story.
That's a story that had to be told. I mean, that wasn't a slave or even a civil rights movie. Mm-hmm. That was just shining light on three women that were inventors.
It was important.
You know what I'm saying? That were, like, scientists.
It was important.
Yeah.
Like I learned that Uncle Nearest. You familiar with Uncle Nearest?
Mm.
Okay, so Uncle Nearest has a whiskey now. But Uncle Nearest developed the recipe for Jack Daniels, right?
Okay.
So the Jack Daniels is his basic invention, right?
Uh-huh.
And then ultimately, you know, because he was black and American, all this different type of stuff, he didn't get credit for it. But tell the story.
Right.
That this guy, you know what I mean? Like, you know, this drink that everybody loves, that he was a part of that, mm-hmm. right? Like, right. you know, like apparently like mixology in and of itself was like developed because like American cuisine is largely based on the culinary creations of black people,
mm-hmm.
right? The foods that we love, like we love barbecue. Right. Americans love barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
Well, who developed the barbecues that we love?
Right.
Right. Like, you know, mm-hmm. tell that story.
Mm-hmm.
Keep telling people that like our story here in America is all of this.
Right.
Our past, present, and future. Mm-hmm. So that's why, you know, regardless of the technical nitpicking I can do with Selma, I still give it love because right. it's an important story to be told
mm-hmm.
that was told very well. A complicated story,
mm-hmm.
a lot of layers, and we touched on a lot of different characters, yeah. but I think it did capture what it needed to capture. It was good enough.
Right. Even the white boys.
Yeah.
The presidents, the governors.
Oh, I loved the relationship between, or the interactions rather, between King and Lyndon B. Johnson.
Yes.
Like yes. They put his mm-hmm. his perspective, mm-hmm. you know, out there.
Even though he passed that law,
mm-hmm.
Even the way he said it, let the niggas vote.
Yeah. yeah.
I was like,
Yeah. But you know, but that's still, it's just like the same way we don't get to let King just be pious. Right. They didn't let Lyndon B. Johnson just be pious
right.
either.
Right.
Yeah, like, you know, you passed the Civil Rights Act and yeah, you passed the Voting Rights Act, but you still got that in your heart
you
too.
You still calling those niggas. Yeah. Man.
right. Like, you know, you would not, like, King forced your hand.
Yeah.
You didn't want to do it.
Right.
Right? You told him, chill.
We're gonna put this down for a little while.
For a little while.
Just for a little while.
Since you won't take, I offered you a job
yeah.
in my administration. Since you won't take that, I get you, man, but I can't do nothing for you on the voting rights.
Not for right now.
And that's what, and then King knew. King was like, that's why we gotta go down there.
Uh-huh.
And he gotta see this on the news every day.
Yeah, every day.
He gotta read it in the paper. He gotta see it in the news. This is the only way he's going to do something.
Right.
And then of course he does something, he gets a grin skin and yeah. you know, I'm doing da da da. But he didn't want to.
Nah, and that's I like the fact that they did that. That he was they showed the realness.
Yeah.
At least to what I think is real.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like they showed he didn't really want to do it. He did it for his legacy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is that wrong?
I mean,
or
like,
is it like you doing it only because you want to look good?
He's a politician.
He's like, well, I don't want 20 years from now, I don't want people to look at me and
this
be like.
This is also important. He did mention that.
He said, you're thinking about 1965. Mm-hmm. You need to be thinking about 1985 when me and you are both dead and gone.
Right.
Like, what are they going to look back and say about you?
Yeah.
And George Wallace was like, I don't give a damn.
I don't give a damn. You know what I mean? Segregation today, segregation tomorrow. You know what I mean? Like
he said, they ain't never satisfied.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
They had that hate in his heart. They want to sit in the front. Mm-hmm. I'm like, nigga, this is regular human being shit, bro. The things that people want to do, they want to vote. They want to sit anywhere they want on a bus, dumbass nigga.
Yeah, right.
What are you talking about?
Right.
They ain't never satisfied. Yeah. Would you be satisfied?
But that's what, you know, that's what they was on. So I think it was good. The J. Edgar Hoover, you know, piece. Mm-hmm. They brought him in. He was like, listen, man, I can shut him down right now. Yeah. Permanently.
Right.
You know, Lyndon was like, I don't want to go that far. You know what I mean? But
yeah.
I think it was a good movie. You know, what's interesting is that, you know, like I wonder how some of our other great directors would handle these stories. I'm talking about non-black directors, right?
Huh.
I think Ava can do it, you know, like no problem. Some, you know, Spike Lee can do it, you know, no problem. But it's just like, you know, would we even want like a Scorsese to touch these topics? You know, like as a talented a director as he is in terms of producing movies and telling stories, like we don't want them touching it. Right?
I feel like based on what you said about Oyelowo,
yeah,
probably not. But then again, mm-hmm. we haven't done it yet. But think about The Color Purple,
which was directed by Spielberg.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. Okay.
So that's what I'm saying?
We'll think about that because like an amazing storyteller is an amazing storyteller,
right?
And, you know, and could, this is what makes this an interesting question before we get into some lightning round awards. A white director knows white people,
mm-hmm.
right? Could a white director tell this black story in a way that would resonate with his people? White people, right? You know, because as black people, we tell the story. And we tell it from our perspective. And what we're hoping for is we're hoping for white audiences to see the story that we're telling and to be affected by it. Right?
True.
But we don't know what it's like to be in a black kitchen or a Jewish dining room. We don't know how they talk about us or how they talk about race or how they talk about these different things. So a white director who knows that, who knows their prejudices, who knows the things that make them uncomfortable, the things that they don't want to look at. Could that director then take these stories and present it to those white audiences
in a
way that would impact them in a way that maybe a black director couldn't?
I think, no. Now,
it's interesting.
Let me tell you something.
Mm-hmm.
We know white people. Fuck all that. Black people, we know the insecurities.
Right.
We know what they're saying behind closed doors. We know why they're doing what they're doing.
Right.
It's not like that. Why are they treating us like this? We know why.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe at the beginning.
Yeah.
I think the Africans, when they came over on them boats, Africans was like, whoa, what y'all doing?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what we do? Why y'all tripping?
Right.
Y'all don't like us. Why? But like, I think those conversations with the politicians, the white politicians in the White House,
mm-hmm.
were good, and we didn't need white people. We didn't need a white director to show us that.
Okay, so I'll give you one last example before we go to the awards. And this is okay. Now we're kind of getting to hot take territory.
Uh huh.
Hot take zone. It's warming up.
Uh huh.
So like Tarantino's Django,
right?
Right. Brutal.
Very.
The way that they were doing the Mandingo fights, I had never seen that before, right? It was my first, I had to like Google the Mandingo fights. I was just like, oh my God, this is fucking brutal, right?
Did you see the movie Mandingo back in the day?
I seen the one where he was smashing the white girl.
You saw Mandingo with Ken Norton?
Yeah.
Corden didn't see it yet.
Right, right.
Uh-huh.
I didn't see like I remember watching it because I was thinking it was going to be some softcore porn type shit, right? Like, you know, yes. So I wasn't watching for that. Uh-huh. But the way Tarantino displays the brutality of certain parts of slavery was interesting because I don't know if a black director would want to as much as they want to tell the story, would they be as brutal as what Tarantino did? Like, or what, you know, what, and because he's an outsider and he shows the brutality, you know, would a black director like have a line? Like, I'm gonna go there and I'm gonna expose it, but it's not gonna be as brutal as Tarantino's take. That's the only interesting.
I want to say, yeah, I want to say a Spike Lee would. Mm-hmm. I want to say that certain black directors would be like, yeah, I'm showing the raw and the rugged.
Yeah,
as much if not more than a white boy mm-hmm. would do. But Tarantino is an overdoer.
Yeah,
he's an overdoer. He's excessive in his points.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So maybe not, but that might be a Tarantino thing, not a white thing.
True.
But Tarantino's white, so it's a little bit of both. It's
interesting. Okay.
Or a lot of both.
We got to watch Color Purple.
We definitely got to watch Color Purple.
Okay.
Because I want to see, like, does it feel, I haven't watched it in years.
Mm-hmm.
Does this feel like a black film by a black director?
I can't wait. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
We got to do that next. Or if not next, in the near future.
Let's do some awards. MVP. Who's the MVP of Selma?
Ooh. MVP of Selma? MVP of Selma. Nah, I'm about to be silly. Nah, it's not silly. Mm-hmm. Ralph Abernathy. Coleman Domingo.
Yeah.
He was the person that was strong. He never wavered, it seemed like, ever. Mm-hmm. But then again, he also never was on the front line. He was on the front line, but he wasn't in the top pulpit area position. Yeah. So it's easier to be second or third in command
mm-hmm.
to not feel like all the pressure's on you.
Yeah.
So I would say Martin.
Yeah.
I think he's the you agreed when I said Abernathy,
yeah.
Because of he was like the voice of reason a lot of times mm-hmm. when you saw that you saw Martin Luther King get a little dejected,
yeah,
a little losing a lack of confidence,
losing some of the energy for the
Ralph
fight.
Was like, nah, bro, mm-hmm. come on, cut that out.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
yeah.
I feel like as much as the movie is about Martin. I think that, like, that squad was really important. And then Abernathy is kind of like the head of that squad was good. I feel like Coleman is always really good as an actor. Mm-hmm. So he fits in that piece.
Yeah.
Right. I like him as an MVP choice. I mean, you know,
yeah.
Notwithstanding some of those nitpicks about, you know, David Willio's performance, like I think he did good.
Mm-hmm.
He's not my favorite Martin.
He's not your favorite Martin
in terms of like actors that have played Martin. I think Jeffrey Wright's
the best actor in the world.
Yeah,
you know,
so like, so it's hard to give him the MVP on this. You know what I mean? Just because I'm not a fan, but you know,
well, are you? I thought the MVP goes to the role, not the actor necessarily. But in this case,
I'm. Dang. And I'm going Coleman Domingo.
Okay. Okay.
I'm going Coleman Domingo.
Oh, are you going the actor? Not the role? Not the character?
The character is obviously Martin. If we stick right. by just the character, it's Martin Luther King.
This sounds like this is the first time. Or maybe you've done it before, but this sounds like the first time you're basing it off the performance.
Off the performance.
And not the role the character played in the film.
I mean, you know, like I said, most times the MVP is obvious,
mm-hmm.
right? It's an obvious choice. You know, we haven't done a lot of historic films on this podcast.
Right.
So, maybe it's being like a little bit too cute by half by saying like, let's talk about something other than the character, because the obvious MVP
is Martin
Luther King.
But I said Ralph Abernathy because of those scenes in the jail cell.
The engine.
And those scenes and when they were sitting there talking to Snick, mm-hmm. and he was sitting there at the little table with the little beads or the seeds.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was just letting, this is what I see. When they pulled up to the character Niecy Nash played.
Yeah, Niecy Nash was cooking.
Yeah. I forget her name. Where is she at? She's not even on the list. But mm-hmm. yeah, she was cooking. These are all his peers. These men are his same age as him, and yep. they're revering him as if he's their uncle or mm-hmm. like he's the big homie mm-hmm. in a sense. And I think that was important for them to do that, to let you know that we are your equal, mm-hmm. but we are behind you,
right?
And we are pushing you up to the
yeah.
We put you on this pedestal because we believe in you.
That's a really good point, John.
Yeah, so
that's a really good
that's
point.
Why I was saying, I wanted to say the MVP was his team, the group of men that were
yeah,
driving with him everywhere.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, but I say Abernathy because he's like the head of that yeah. guy. He's like second in command.
I think that's good because, like I said, like King is the most, King is the most popular of them all. Mm-hmm. But like, it's almost kind of like if you look at like great teams in history, like the 90s Bulls or the Showtime yeah. Lakers, right?
Right.
Like King is Magic Johnson, but Cooper was playing D.
Cooper played you know defense.
You know, Scott was filling the lane. Uh-huh. Rambis was boxing out.
Right.
Right. Like, you know, so yeah, yeah. Magic gets the highlight.
Yes.
But the squad was putting in work, mm-hmm. right? Like, you know, Jordan gets the highlight, but Pippen is playing D.
Kuko's over there with the shots. Kerr over there.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So I think to that, this movie really show that like this was a traveling machine, that they was in the car, they'd set up shot, and each one of them has something to do.
Yeah,
they was all where, you know, like right. Common's character, we really didn't get into, the movie didn't really touch
Bevel,
on his
yeah.
Bevel,
yeah,
but like Bevel was working too.
Yes,
getting information.
He was there at the hospital at the morgue yeah. where when Jimmy Lee Jackson
right.
was murdered.
Right,
you know what
he was like, they all had work to do, so it wasn't just like the King show. Right? Like, they was a squad. So I think the whole squad is, you know, worthy of that MVP.
I mean, for sure, because here's the thing. MVPs are not always the quarterback. Typically, mm-hmm. they are.
Yep.
But sometimes the running back's MVP.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the receiver's MVP.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So the Martin Luther King, like you said, was the most popular. He was the speech giver,
mm-hmm.
but there was a team amongst that, and who helped him. There was that Wendell Pierce scene where he yeah. sat there and sat in the doorway and watched Martin Luther King go over his speech,
mm-hmm.
and they were talking. You know what I'm saying? Like those times in this movie led me to my answer to be
yeah.
the crew.
Yeah.
And there's a scene where they're walking down the bridge, and it's Martin in the middle and like three guys on each side of him,
uh-huh.
like almost like a kickoff squad.
Yep.
Like it's a team
yep.
effort. So MVP, that's crazy. I'm looking down at the screen. And I'm looking at that scene in the prison,
mm-hmm.
in the jail cell with him and Abernathy.
And Abernathy, yep.
Yeah, bro. Everybody has, even in the King, hence his last name. Like even in like back in the medieval times, the King has the hand to the King.
Yep.
A vice president.
Yep.
Or a council.
Chief advisor.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
You know what I'm saying? So nah, Abernathy, bro.
Any LVPs?
LVPs. James. Trey Byers character. The guy from that was the one of the head guys of SNCC.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
He was a sucker.
He was.
Yeah. He was jealous.
I didn't wanna, yeah.
Jealous. Mm-hmm. So I know it was John and James. Mm-hmm. John. Stephen James played, I think, John, and I think the other Trey Byers played James.
Stephen James played John Lewis. Trey Byers played James Foreman.
Yes.
James. I feel bad for, like, the Foreman family. You know what I mean? Because they did make him out to be, I mean, like,
if it was true, it is what it is.
And he was Johnny Come Lately. Because he did, like, on the second day when they show up at the bridge, he was there.
Uh-huh.
So he was ready
right.
to
get mopped.
To get mopped.
Yeah.
So he deserves credit for, you know, for that.
Yeah.
But he was playing politics at a time where he didn't need to.
Right.
SNCC didn't need to get no credit. You know, King kind of coming in. He was just kind of like, you're not.
That's right. John Lewis was like, but they picked him. They chose up.
Yeah.
They charged it to the game, bro. We lost. We lost this our particular way battle. Got,
yeah.
We didn't lose the whole war.
And the thing, and we both on the same team.
Yeah.
He kind of lost sight of that.
James Foreman wanted to be the face of the revolution.
Yeah.
And he was too young, too inexperienced. Mm-hmm. And it shows that he's too arrogant to be in that position.
Because, you know, he was like, you know, we've been in here for 6 months, da-da-da-da-da. What King kind of explained to him, which I loved, is that, like, this is about cameras, right? Like, you know, when y'all left, you know, such and such and such, you know, because there wasn't no cameras over there. King was like, exactly. This is about getting on the news.
Right.
This is about getting on the front page. So we here now because this is where it's about to go down. Mm-hmm. Now tell me, since y'all been here, the sheriff that y'all got, right, yeah, where we just came from, he was cool. He played it, you know, much calm.
Pritchard, yeah.
Yeah, so it wasn't no hey. But is your guy like a Bill Connor? Cool, we in the right spot.
Yeah.
Because we here for these headlines, because mm-hmm. these headlines move Washington.
Right. They had the strategy, yeah, and it worked.
Yeah.
Your boy, your Foreman wasn't on that. And he had no clue. He was just, I want to be the man in charge. Yep. I want to be the man in the front.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Buster. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, the LVP for sure.
Yeah.
Shout out to Trey Byers.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, great. Yeah, he did his thing, too.
Okay, now let's give this film some awards.
Okay.
Five, all-time classic. One, black movie. Where does Selma rank?
I give it a strong 4.
Yeah. I'm in the same position.
Yeah.
I'm in the same position. It's a really good historic mm-hmm. movie. I think it's well done.
Mm-hmm.
Well told. There are times where I feel like there are too many plates on the bar. And what I mean by that is that there's a lot of characters and they're covering a lot of stuff.
Right.
From the relationship that King has with Lyndon B. Johnson mm-hmm. to what's going on with him and Coretta, to Malcolm X, to what it's like Oprah Winfrey's character all about, to Lakeith and his family. You know what I mean? So and then you got, you know, the SNCC kids, you know what I mean, kids. And all of that. Then you got, you know, mm-hmm. the crew. So there are a lot of the white priests. Yeah, the white priests that come down. We don't really get a chance to, you know, what motivated him. We know that he watched, but right. like, you know, there's no significant conversation with him besides the conversation that he has with the other white guy before he gets killed.
Right.
So there are a lot of plates on the bar.
J. Edgar Hoover.
Right. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like the movie jumps off with the four little girls,
yeah.
and then we spend very little time, you know, there. They bring Malcolm X in for that scene, and then they just kind of quickly throw it away that, like, he died 3 weeks ago, right? So it's those things, because they put so much on the bar. Like, don't forget about this. Don't forget about that. What about this, and that? There's so many plates on the bar that the movie struggles to get a rep in. Yeah. But I do think it gets the rep in.
It gets the rep in,
I do
in
think
sure.
it gets the bar up.
Yeah.
But if you have a little less on it,
yeah,
I think you get more reps, and right. more reps would make it a 5. And that's why it's a 4 for me.
And I hate to not give it a 5, honestly.
Yeah, yeah.
But I for some reason, I feel like if I gave it a 5, it is because I want to give it a 5 and not because it needs a 5.
Not because it needs a 5. It's a 4. A strong 4.
It's a 4. I just feel it. Like,
mm-hmm.
when I watch certain movies, when I watch X,
mm-hmm.
it's hard. It's unfortunate to...
Yeah.
And you can compare it. You can.
Yeah.
You can. X was just different, man.
Yeah. I mean, it had a seasoned director.
Yeah.
You know, this is only Ava's, like, third movie.
Yeah.
Right? So she's still, and, you know, she's still young as a
dude. And you killed it, by the way, too.
She did a great job, but she's young in her movie making, you know, prowess. If she redoes this movie, you know, 10 years, 15 years later, after she has more film, you know, mm-hmm. Expertise, then I think she makes a different movie. Mm. Maybe not seismically different, but I think she makes a different movie. Right. So I think, again, is a good movie.
Right.
It's a
very good movie.
Very good movie.
I think it's smooth, too.
Great movie. Smooth.
Everything
checks
makes
all
sense.
Checks all the boxes. I just think a little bit, they got it all in. Yeah. And I think you could have took a little bit off and gave us a little bit more.
Right.
Right? We talked about the stuff with, like, King and the other women. Like, you could have explored that a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
If you're going to give us that,
mm-hmm.
give us a little more.
Right. We spent a lot of time with the FBI, with them, you know, with the notes in attendance, da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
But we rarely talk about that amongst King and his people. Were they aware? Did they know? You know what I mean? So it's just those little things.
Real quick.
Yeah.
Also that and Mahalia Jackson.
Yeah.
What was that about? Martin, you trying to tell us something?
I did laugh at that. I was
you calling a woman up and she in the bed with her man?
With her man.
And sing to me?
Sing to me.
Is that just some, you had the best voice in the world?
Yeah.
And I just got to hear this right now?
That's
or
an
this
interesting
a, or
choice.
A flex?
That's an interesting choice.
Because it seemed like he turned the lights out.
Waited for Coretta to go down.
Went to his, pulled out the phone number and.
Yeah. And I don't care where we at. My wife, you gonna wake up in the middle of the night.
So the man turned around. He turned over like, low key.
Yeah.
He low key was like, oh.
Listen, if I was him, like, I'd be like, you need to stop calling my wife at 1 o'clock in the morning for her to sing you some Negro spirituals, some hymnals.
Come on, fam.
It's disrespectful, Martin.
I rock with you, Martin.
Yeah.
Come on, man, but.
Yeah.
I'll slap you, bro.
Slap you.
You know what I'm saying? You ain't Malcolm. You're Martin. You ain't Malcolm, bro. I'll slap you, homie.
Right. Stop calling my wife.
Stop calling my wife, bro.
To sing, man.
To sing.
Yeah. To sing.
Yeah.
And she got out the bed.
Yeah.
And sang the song.
Clear the throat.
Yeah. That's an interesting flex. I forgot about that scene, but I remember getting a chuckle off of it. Like, you know, like that's Martin's thing. Like, you know, late night.
Martin got it like that.
Yeah. Like, you know, instead of
phone sex?
Phone sex. You're like, won't you
send me a gospel? he got off and she had a note. He said, I said, oh,
yeah, Martin. That's how Martin got down. It wasn't, what are you wearing right now?
Nah.
Yeah.
See me there.
Sing Precious Lord.
Okay.
Yeah.
Precious Lord.
Yeah, we wilding.
Martin was a little, he was a freak, man.
That's hilarious.
He was a little gospel freak.
That is funny.
Hey, man. And,
because
it's all jokes, of course.
Because it's an odd choice. That's why it's a love the movie.
Yeah, I love that scene.
Love everything.
But I was like, huh.
Interesting.
Okay.
Yeah.
Uh huh. Little nuggets.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a strong four. Yep. And I love the film. I'll watch it again. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm with it.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah,
man.
Good review.
Good review, man.
Yeah, good review.
Yeah, we done, man. We can talk more as usual about this film. Shout out to Sister DuVernay. You did your thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's it, y'all. Selma. You know what I'm saying? That concludes our episode. And catch us next time on Blackbusters. I'm your host, Big Jop,
along with
my co-host.
We shall overtone.
We shall overtone.
Mm-hmm.
And this is that episode, man.
Yeah.
Catch y'all next time. Be good or be good at it. We love y'all. To the max.
Blackbusters.